So first of all, Charles, can you highlight the main components of the policy as it impacts social media?
Sure. The intent of the revised policy is not to inhibit social media inside the stadium, inside our stadiums, with the exception of trying to protect our video rights as they pertain to our television and media partners. So if someone in the stadium can enter Twitter feeds or Facebook entries and photographs, but the game footage video is something that we will try to protect.
How much did the fan response and all the speculation that's been going on the last several days play into the revisions that you've finally come up with?
It was never the intent of the conference to cut off social media inside the stadium. It was never our intent. The language that initially was done was wide-reaching in nature, but definitely the feedback from the fans on it played a role, especially in the expeditious nature of trying to get this done because of the outcry was large.
You know, in our discussions, yours and my discussions over the last few days, we talked back and forth about, you know, what you were thinking through and who was thinking through it and so on. Is this something that the ADs of the conference had to agree to? Is this something that the core leadership of the conference determined and communicated to the different schools? You know, who took part in it?
Well, there's a lot of stakeholders, obviously, and each group had their say, and you know, we're in a new year, we're in the first year of our television and digital rights agreements, so there was a feeling that we need to push this through pretty quickly, and I believe through the hastiness of it, some of the translation got lost, and especially as it dealt with the and public relations aspect of it. But I think now with the revised policy, we have landed at a place where I think the intent has been all along.
So, you know, there's been lots of talk about old men and being out of touch and all of that. Do you think that that in general that the leadership may not have understood the implications of the policy as it was set out on social media, or not weigh the value of it?
Well, I think, I don't think there was, I will say this, the SEC office and our institutions understand the importance of social media, and I think there's, I don't think that afraid of the technology or unfamiliarity with the unfamiliarity with it caused this issue, but I think maybe when the crafting of the language, and if you were to, my guess is that if you were to review languages, the language of other policies going backwards, you may find similar language. And my guess is that this will be a test case for other conferences and for other organizations when they write their policy. They've got to make social media a part of it.
That's a good point, Charles. Did you guys talk to any of the other conferences about either their policies, if they had a policy in place, or about implications that they had considered, or was this totally within the SEC this discussion take place?
Well, we had language from other organizations and conferences, and you know, some conferences have a conference-wide policy and some don't. I think there's several ways, you can go around it, whether it be an institutional policy or conference policy. There's NCAA policy that deal with NCAA championships. There's a wide range of ways to go around it. And since this is a conference contract, we chose to go that way. We researched other conferences and professional organizations. And going backwards, this was a compilation of some of that. And my guess, like I said before, going forward, we'll have to take social media into account.
All right, so I just want to make clear, this isn't just affecting football or basketball. It's all events, all SEC events in all sports. Is that correct?
All SEC events in all sports.
All right. So if the intent of the policy now is you, Joe fan or Sue fan, just can't commercialize, you know, have any commercial gain from the pictures you take in the stadium or the tweets or the, you know, anything that you, the video you take around the stadium, etc. Does that affect a blogger who then has advertisement on their blogs?
That is not the intent. I think the intent really is to someone not to create revenue from an entry with the sole purpose of duplicating what's being done by the conference.
Got it.
And I think that once if that passes the test, I don't feel that there'll be any repercussions. But you know, it's really protecting what the conference and the institutions are doing from a video standpoint.
So a lot of people have been saying, how does a grainy video on YouTube have any impact on watching a game via CBS or their HD TV? Do you think it does, or does it matter?
Well, I think, and this is one of the issues that we'll have to address going forward internally as well as with our institutions. The policy will be reviewed each year, and, you know, it remains to be seen whether that will make an impact, but right now the intent is not to allow it. But, if we find that, it's not an issue and, you know, there are some things video that we can do, we'll take a look at it, but right now in drafting the policy, definitely want to protect their video.
Do you foresee your partners creating social media environments where SEC fans who are really passionate and have all this kind of fan-generated media can upload it and share it with other SEC fans on that kind of a platform, or has that even been discussed?
Well, I am not familiar with those discussions. I would say that for a conference that has a strong history and strong fan support like we do, I think it's be advantageous for us as a conference to get involved with those discussions to try to get something for our fans to unify and have a social media site. But we know that in the history of the SEC, one of the strong points that we have is the support and the passion of our fan base, and if we can tie that into a social media platform for the conference and our institutions, we should look at that and try to get that done.
All right, two more questions, and then I know you've got plenty to do around there today. Number one, what do you think the biggest impact for your individual conference schools will be with this particular policy in terms of social media?
Well, I see social media as a way that our fans can be engaged and that, you know, we can share the positive word of what goes on in our universities and our stadiums. We talk about, you know, the environment around our games, and it's an experience. It's not just 60-minute football game. And so I think if we have fans in our stands who, you know, tweet and enter Facebook entries and take a picture and show everyone having a great time, whether it's tailgating or the scenery around the stadium, I think that's a positive that we can use to get the word out about our atmosphere in the ball game.
And obviously, if it's a conference policy, the policies you put in place, you believe will be overall beneficial to your individual members.
Oh, I think so. I think it's something that I think now is in the mainstream, and we need to be part of that train.
And will this policy affect sponsor brands and their use of social media, in particular, fan-generated media? If they're putting together a promotion and obviously they want to engage the fan and make sure that they're engaged both with the SEC or the SEC school and or with their brand, and they want to really engage them and use social media, does this have any implications there?
I think that if a corporate, if their institutions are engaged in a corporate relationship that they want to utilize social media. I don't see this as being adversarial at all. I think, you know, a corporation will take advantage of the social media platform, and the university, if they so choose, can be involved.
Great. Thanks, Charles.